Sugya 35, Birchas Hareach. So the Gemara in this sugya starts off asking question, right? From where do we know that you have to make a bracha on reach, on good smells? The Gemara answers from the pasuk of Kol Neshama Tahaluka Haluka. So we start off this sugya by just asking the question of why exactly do we need a pasuk to teach us this? We already, you know, should know that you have to make a bracha on good reach because we have a klal of Asir Haonos Me'olam Hazeh below bracha, right? You can't have hana without making bracha. This is hana, so why would this be any different? Why do you need a new pasuk of Kol Neshama Talaka? So we give three possible answers. First, we said that according to Rashi, it's not necessarily obvious that the trigger for a bracha is hana. It's true that we have that klal of Asir Haonos Me'olam Hazeh below bracha, but according to Rashi, we saw that it could be that it's more of an achila type of thing. That's why, you know, with foods, Rashi was very much, you know, constantly talking about that you need a real achila to trigger the bracha. So it could be that, you know, if you're in the worldview of Rashi, we wouldn't necessarily know that all shar hanaos would require a bracha. We then saw the tzlach. The tzlach says that the Gemara later on says anyone who's nene me'olam hazeh below bracha is it's ki'ilu mal. It's like they did me'ila, right? But we know, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us, that the reach of the ketoret, so the reach of the ketores didn't have, you weren't, you know, over the Isser of Me'ila if you were smelling that. So we see that there's not really Me'ila by a reach, says the Tzlach, and therefore you wouldn't know that you have to make a bracha by reach. We pointed out this is very difficult because that Gemara was just one specific case where the mitzvah was already done, right? We have a klal kol darvish nase mitzvah, so ein molin bo, right? Once the mitzvah has already been performed, then there's no longer me'ila. But avada, if there's a reach that, you know, hasn't been used yet to perform the mitzvah, then you would be able to do me'ila on it. So we didn't really understand that tzlach, but nevertheless, we offer that as a potential answer. And then we had third answer, which was that it's true that we have the rule of Asir Lehonos Me'olam Hazeh below bracha, but we also know that you don't make a bracha on every type of hana out there, right? If you go in a jacuzzi, right, you don't make a bracha. So how do we know necessarily which hanas you do make a bracha on, which ones you don't? So that's why we have the pasuk Kol Neshama Ta'aluka to teach us that even by a reach you do make a bracha. We then raised the question of is a birchas hareach considered? Does it fall into the category of birchas hananin or birchas hashevach? And we saw pretty much raya after raya that it's going to be more of a birchas hananin. It falls into that category. The Rambam says it explicitly. I'll read the Rambam out loud. He says, "Kishem she'asur l'adam lehanos b'machal o b'mashke kodem bracha, kach asur lo lehanos b'reach tov kodem bracha." He's clearly equating reach to achila, to shtia, to food and drinks. So clearly he's working in the worldview of hana, right? It's a birchas hananin. The Ritva also says, I'll read this out again. He says, "Ve'od shelo matzino birchas hananin b'davar shehu chutz legufo, ela b'davar shegufo nana mimenu kigon achila, shtia, v'reach." Right, explicitly says that birchas hareach is also a part of birchas hananin. And then we also saw Tosfos, who raised the question of if you're not sure which bracha to make on a certain type of besamim, if you're not sure if it's isbe or atze, right? So what should you do? So the Tosfos quotes two opinions. The first opinion that he quotes is that you can make a shahakal, right? So we pointed out that for sure within that answer that you're saying it's a shahakal, it's avada going to be a birchas hananin because shahakal is totally a birchas hananin bracha, right? And then the other opinion says you should make a bore mine besamim. So we said even according to that, you know, maybe you could argue that it's a birchas shevach, but we said probably not. It could also be that it's birchas hananin, and the reason why you say bori mine besamim instead of a shakal is because it makes more sense. It's mivureres tfe. It's the more specific bracha. We know that you always try to get as specific as possible. So that's why the Sarmi Kutze, who offers that answer, says that you should make a bori mine besamim because it's much more specific. We had a little bit of a side point within the Ritva, a lot of lumdus about some stuff about Borei Morei HaEsh. I'll just quickly discuss a little bit of it. So we had a question, why do we make a Borei Morei HaEsh on Motzi Shabbos? So we said that it's to commemorate Adam HaRishon, right? Hashem taught him or helped him discover fire. That happened on Motzi Shabbos. So to commemorate that, we make a Borei Morei HaEsh on Motzi Shabbos. But it's going to be, that's considered a Berchas HaShevach, not a Berchas HaNenin. And then we said, why do we make a Borei Mine B'Samim on Motzi Shabbos? So we said the reason is because we know that you have a neshama yisera on Shabbos, and you're losing that neshama yisera, so getting the good smell in your body somehow helps to counteract the effects of losing the neshama yisera. I think that's enough for that side point. Moving on to the next part of the sugya, so we saw the rush. The rush has a bit of a chiddush. So just for some background, the Gemara in the 8th parak tells us that you don't make a bracha on besamim that you're using to counteract the effects of a bad smell. Right? Let's say you have a bathroom and then you want to bring perfume into the bathroom to make the bathroom smell better. So you're not going to make a bracha on that perfume. And the reason why is because it's not used for you to smell. You're not using it to get hana from the perfume. You're using it just to counteract the bad smell in the bathroom. So the Rosh plugs this into our Gemara. He says that in our Gemara, which we know you have to make a bracha on good-smelling fruits, you have to make the bracha of Baruch Shenasa and Reach Tov Beperos. So the Rosh qualifies this rule. He says it must be talking about where you initially took the food with the intention of smelling it, right? But if you dafka took it to taste it, right, for some other purpose, then it's like the case in the 8th parak, right, where you didn't bring it originally to smell it, right, and therefore you wouldn't make a bracha on that. So that's the breakthrough of the Rosh. And then we asked how this plays out on Sukkos, right? So on Sukkos, let's say you're taking the esrog, right, for a mitzvah, right, to shake the lulav and esrog on Sukkos, right, but you also plan on smelling it. So do you need to make a bracha on that smell, right? If you had in mind when you took it to also smell it. So we quoted the Ravya. The Ravya says that yes, you do have to make a bracha, right? Because just like the Rosh says, if you had intention to both eat the fruit and smell it, you would have to make a bracha. So too, if you have intention to do a mitzvah with the fruit and smell it, it's the exact same thing. And therefore, you would have to make a bracha of Asher Nasan Reach Tov Beperos when you're smelling the etrog. The Shulchan Aruch also quotes, I think it's Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha says, you don't make a bracha. And the Be'er Halacha explained the reason behind this is because presumably your Iker Kavana when you're taking an Esrog on Sukkos is to be shaking the Lulav and Etrog, to be Yotze the mitzvah of Esrog. So the fact that you're going to smell it, that's kind of like Tafel. It's kind of like a Hana that doesn't really play such an important role. So that's not the main reason why you're taking it. And therefore, we would apply the Rosh that you don't make a bracha on it. So how do we pass in Halacha L'maisa? So we know that so it's really a Suffolk bracha. So the Minhag Yisrael, we said, is to avoid the Shaila and to not smell an Esrog on Sukkos because of this Shaila. We said that women aren't really so makel on this for some reason. Moving on to the next part of the Sugya. So the Gemara mentions this certain perfume that came from a deer, right? From like the hump of the deer. There's blood there, and then somehow the blood is able to turn into perfume. So it's called the musk deer. So the Gemara says that the bracha that you make on that perfume, it's not a wood, obviously. So you can't make atse besamim. It's not a grass. You can't make isbe. So you make bori mine besamim, the Gemara says. We then just went into kind of an unrelated question, but are you allowed to eat this perfume from the musk deer? I have no idea why you would like want to eat it, but that's the shaila that they're dealing with. So are you allowed to eat the perfume or not? So the Rosh quotes the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah says that it's usur because it's a chashash of dam, right? Originally it was blood and then it somehow gets turned into this perfume. So that would be a problem of eating dam. Rabbeinu Yonah, however, we saw, said that it's mutter, right? Because even if it was blood originally, it's changed now. And we go after the present, Rabbeinu Yonah says, when you're judging whether something is mutter usur. The phrase that he has is davarish usur shenishtana mutter, right? If something was originally usur, even so, if it's changed now in front of us, it's fine, so then it's going to be mutter. And Rabbeinu Yonah tries to offer a proof, right? He says, we know that bee honey is mutter, but we also know that the bee honey sometimes has like bee legs in it that or other parts of the bee that get mixed up in the honey and then end up getting dissolved and everything like that. So the question is, how could you be allowed to eat the bee honey? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, it must be because Davar Asur Shenishtana Mutter. So he tries to bring a proof for his klal from the case of the bees. So the Rosh objected to this raya. He says, Raya so tzricha raya, like how does Rabbeinu Yonah know that that's the reason why the bee honey itself is mutter? Right? It could be that there's other reasons why the bee honey is mutter. So we saw that actually Tosfos, and I think the Rosh agrees to this, they both offer a different reason why bee honey would be mutter. They say because the legs or the wings of the bees are atzamos ba'alma, right? And there's a klal that the atzamos are going to be mutter. So therefore, you don't have any proof of davar asur shenishtana mutter, according to the Rosh. So that's why he rejects Rabbeinu Yonah. And then just the final part of this of the sugya. So we're discussing, the Rambam is discussing the Shemen HaMishcha. And one of the ingredients that goes into the Shemen HaMishcha, right, the Shemen HaMishcha was used to anoint the Kelim, the Kohanim, Melech HaMashiach, Bezrat Hashem. So the Shemen HaMishcha has an ingredient called Mor Dror. So the question is, what is that? So the Rambam says that it is this musk deer perfume, is the Mor Dror. And the Ravid argues on this. He says it doesn't make sense. The Ravid says it just doesn't sound logical that it would be that we would have something going into the Shemen HaMishcha from a tame animal. As a side point, we said that it's a bit of a pella. Why is a deer exactly a tame animal? But we left that on the side. But the Ravid says that he thinks it's a type of plant, and he quotes a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Ariti Mori Im Bisami. Right, so pasuk there says the word mori. That is what he says is Mor Dror is referring to. So we said that maybe this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, right? Why exactly did the Rambam not have this problem that the Ravid has, right? That it's coming from a tame animal, it's a dover that's usser, right? Why exactly did the Rambam not feel that this was problematic? So we said that maybe the Rambam holds like Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's true, it was blood, it was from the tummy animal, but davar aser shenishtana becomes mutter, right? So we see that the Rambam perhaps was going like Rabbeinu Yonah, Lashitas Rabbeinu Yonah, but the Ravid clearly didn't buy into that, so maybe we could say he held like the Yad Ramah, the Rush, right? And therefore, that's why the musk deer perfume, it would be inconceivable that it would be able to be a part of the Shemen HaMishcha. That's the end of Sugya 35.